Diversity.
Here to have caused confusion.
Oh, trash is bored.
Ladies and gents, I wouldn't miss this for the world. I've sparked up a Magnum 54. This situation calls for a serious cigar. H. Upman Magnum 54. And let me just set up the context for this a little bit. Earlier this week, I said that on Thursday, depending on how the Trump-Starmer meeting went, I would do an emergency stream. And, you know, that meeting between Trump and Starmer went surprisingly well. It was all smiles, you know, they rolled the red carpet out, you know, you're going to have an invitation from King Charles. And I was like, shit, this has gone really quite well for Starmbot. And this morning I woke up and I was like, oh, you know, nothing ever happens. In fact, I even made a post. There it was. Look, let me show you this post I made just this morning. I wrote, AA, I am hurt. All this week you doubted me. You strayed from the one true path. You were suckered by the media, by the slot machine. You actually thought, didn't you? Go and sit in the corner, reflect on your actions. Because I thought that was it. I thought, oh, shit. This deal, this mineral bullshit deal that is being made with Ukraine is going to happen. Starmer's going to get what he wants. Trump is going to get what he wants. And basically nothing ever happened. Then, this, the mother of all stories. Let me tell you, folks, I was, you know, took my family out for ice cream earlier on. And, you know, it's Friday night. You know, watched some Cobra Kai with the missus. Hit 11 o'clock and I was like, do you know what? I can't let this go. Jumped in the old Speedmobile. Bombed down the A3. Here I am. Wouldn't miss it. So I'm going to watch a bit more of this. Now, this meeting was actually quite long. 45, 50 minute meeting. Of which about a 4 minute clip is the one doing the rounds, but I'm going to start it a little bit earlier. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I actually think that the clip that is doing the rounds makes it look a little bit too much like a Vance Trump 2-on-1 heel beatdown. I actually think if you watch a little bit more, Zelensky had this coming to him. He was kind of testing the patience of Trump. He was pushing his needles. And if you watch a little bit more of it, you'll see that actually Trump and Vance were pretty patient. But then they truly did let him have it. Honestly, this is one of the most incredible things I can ever remember. I mean, certainly in a setting like, in a diplomatic setting like this, in the Oval Office, this was like, you know me, I love my pro wrestling. This was just fucking incredible shit. So let's watch it together, and I'll try not to pause it too much. And then I'll talk about what this means and so on after that.
If I thought that was going to happen, I wouldn't make a deal.
Some people may wonder why.
You know, they ought to focus on CNN on survival. Not asking me these ridiculous questions. Focus on surviving, because CNN's got such low ratings. I don't think they're going to survive. Let's go.
Please, go. I already mentioned Poland. Poland was under Russian control for decades after the Second World War. When I was a kid, I looked at the United States not only as a most powerful country, right, richest country in the world, the country that has great music, great movies, great muscle cars, but also as a force for good. And now I'm talking with my friends in Poland, and they are worried that you align yourself too much with Putin. What's your message for them?
Well, if I didn't align myself with both of them, you'd never have a deal. You want me to say really terrible things about Putin and then say, hi, Vladimir, how are we doing on the deal? That doesn't work that way. I'm not aligned with Putin. I'm not aligned with anybody. I'm aligned with the United States of America and for the good of the world. I'm aligned with the world, and I want to get this thing over with. You see the hatred he's got for Putin. It's very tough for me to make a deal with that kind of hate. He's got tremendous hatred, and I understand.
Look at the sniffing. Look at the sniffing, by the way. Did Zelensky turn up to this meeting with Trump wearing that jumper, not wearing a suit? Fucking coked up. He's always sniffing, isn't he? Anyway, let's carry on.
And that, but I can tell you the other side isn't exactly in love with, you know, him either. So it's not a question of alignment. I'm aligned with the world. I want to get the thing set up.
Let me just set up this, because the context of this is quite incredible. Trump was talking about bringing an end to the war. And Zelensky had suggested this mineral deal whereby the United States gets access to Ukrainian minerals. And Trump was up for it. Trump was actually like, yeah, I kind of like this deal. And if you watch the Macron and the Starmer meetings, basically this was all going to go ahead. Like, and this is why when I woke up this morning, I was like, oh, fuck this. You know, this is not what I wanted. This is gay. This is rubbish. Because and basically reading between the lines, what Trump was saying in the meeting with Starmer was like, look, we are not going to put U.S. troops on the ground. OK, we are not going to have U.S. security guarantee for Ukraine. But if we have access to those minerals, there will be American workers on the ground. There will be American citizens on the ground, which means that basically the Russians or whoever else aren't going to attack America. And also he was saying that, well, if the British want to give a security guarantee or if the French want to give a security guarantee, knock yourselves out. Okay, that was basically the upshot and where things were heading into this meeting from Zelensky. Okay, and the Europeans, right, this is why I was kind of a little bit pissed off this morning, because this morning, before any of this kicked off, all of the British media were actually pretty smug. They were happy with how the meeting with Starmer went. The regime here, if you want to put it this way, thought they had basically pulled a fast one over on the Donald. They thought that they'd salvaged the situation. Okay, so Starmer, Boris Johnson, all these utter wankers basically thought, well, look, we can keep the war going like this, right? Okay, America may not want to actually commit men or whatever, but they're happy with us keeping it going. And if there's Americans on the ground there, you know, they can work with that. Now, why this meeting with Zelensky happened, I don't know. And over on the drive here, I was only able to listen to Judge Knapp with the Intelligence Roundtable. So that was Larry Johnson and Ray McGovern. And also there was a John Mearsheimer stream where Mearsheimer and this other dude were talking through this. So I basically have their takes, but I haven't really had a chance because I've been busy with family and so on. I haven't really seen too many takes on Twitter or elsewhere. But it really does seem like nobody quite knows why Zelensky was there. He kind of invited himself. I mean, it's quite extraordinary because it seemed like they were on the cusp of making this deal, and then this shit show occurred. It's amazing. We can talk about, you know, how much of a plan this was from Vance and Trump and so on after we watch it. But let's carry on.
I'm aligned with Europe. I want to see if we can get this thing done. You want me to be tough? I could be tougher than any human being you've ever seen. I'd be so tough. But you're never going to get a deal that way. So that's the way it goes. All right, one more question.
I want to respond to this. So look, for 4 years in the United States of America, we had a president who stood up at press conferences and talked tough about Vladimir Putin. And then Putin invaded Ukraine and destroyed a significant chunk of the country. The path to peace and the path to prosperity is maybe engaging in diplomacy. We tried the pathway of Joe Biden of thumping our chest and pretending that the President of the United States' words mattered more than the President of the United States' actions. What makes America a good country is America engaging in diplomacy. That's what President Trump is doing.
Can I ask you?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So he occupied our parts, big parts of Ukraine, parts of East and Crimea. So he occupied it on 2014. So during a lot of years, so I'm not speaking about just Biden, but those time was Obama, then President Obama, then President Trump, then President Biden, now President Trump, and God bless, now President Trump will stop him. But during 2014, nobody stopped him. He just occupied and took. He killed people. You know what the contact
2015. Line?
2014.
2014 and
2014. 2014. Yeah, yeah. So
I was not here.
Yeah, but
that's exactly right.
Yes, but during 2014 till 2022, the situation the same. The people have been dying on the contact line. Nobody stopped him. You know that we had conversations with him, a lot of conversations, my bilateral conversation, and we signed with him, me, like a new president. In 2019, I signed with him the deal. I signed with...
Can I just say, this is fucking brilliant. This is one of the best things I've ever watched. It is... I just can't get over it. I'm so excited, guys.
Him, Macron, and Merkel, we signed ceasefire. Ceasefire. All of them told me that he will never go. We signed him with gas contract. Gas contract. Yes, but after that... He broken this ceasefire. He killed our people, and he didn't exchange prisoners. We signed the exchange of prisoners, but he didn't do it. What kind of diplomacy, JD, you are speaking about? What do you mean?
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you,
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to.
Come once.
I've actually.
Look at this body language. Fucking hell. Look at that! Look at the aggression. It's just fucking incredible.
Watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems bringing people into your military?
We have problems.
And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
A lot of questions. Let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
First of all, during the war, everybody has problems. Even you, but you have nice ocean and don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future. God bless.
You don't know that.
God bless.
You
don't God bless.
That.
You will not have a war.
Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because
I'm
you're in no position to dictate that.
That's
remember
exactly
this.
You're
in no position to dictate what we're going to feel. We're going to feel very
you will
good.
Feel influence.
We're going to feel very good and very strong.
You will feel influence.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed
from
yourself
very,
to be in a very bad position, and he happens to be right about
from
it.
From the very beginning of the war,
you're not
Mr.
in a good position.
You don't have
the cards right now. With us, you start having
not
cards.
Playing cards.
Right now, you don't. You're
serious,
playing cards.
Mr.
You're playing cards.
Serious.
You're gambling
the
with the lives of
war.
Millions of people.
You think
you're gambling
think,
with World War III. You're gambling with World War III.
This is just fucking incredible. I just can't believe. I mean, I'm just. Every time I watch it, it's just incredible.
And what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country. This country.
I'm
that's back to you.
To
far
country.
More than a lot of people said they should have.
Have you said thank you once this
a
entire
lot of
meeting?
Times.
No, in this
even
entire
today,
meeting, have you said thank
even
you?
Today.
You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Oh. Offer some words of appreciation for the United States of America and the president who's trying to save your country.
Please, you think that if you will speak very loudly about the war, you
He's
can...
He's not speaking speak. Loudly. He's not speaking loudly. Your country is in big trouble.
Can I answer?
Wait a minute. No, no.
Can
You've I done answer? A lot of talking. Your country is in big trouble.
This is just... It's like watching Ric Flair and Arn Anderson deck some fucking jobber. It's amazing.
I know.
You're not winning. You're not winning this. You have a damn good chance of coming out okay because of
Mr.
us.
Mr. President, we are staying in our country, staying strong from the very beginning of the war. We've been alone, and we are thankful. I said thanks
in
this cabinet, not only in this cabinet.
We gave you, through this stupid president, $350 billion.
You voted
we gave
for
you
your
military
president.
Equipment,
you
and
you
men are brave,
president.
But they had to use our military.
What about
if,
speaking?
If you didn't have
you
our military equipment,
you invited
if
me
you didn't
speak?
Have our military equipment, this war would have been over in 2 weeks.
In three days, I heard it from Putin. In 3 days. This is something
maybe
new.
Less.
In 2 weeks. Of course, yes.
It's going to be a very hard thing to do business like this.
Again,
I tell you.
Just say thank you.
I
except,
said a lot of times
that there, except
to
that,
American people.
Except that there are disagreements, and let's go litigate those disagreements rather than trying to fight it out in the American media when you're wrong. We know that you're wrong.
But you see, I think it's good for the American people to see what's going on.
I understand, sir.
I think it's very important. That's why I kept this going so long. You have to be thankful. You don't have the cards.
I'm thankful.
You're buried there. Your people are dying.
I can tell you
you're running low on soldiers. Listen, you're running low on soldiers. It would be a damn good thing. And then you tell us, I don't want a ceasefire. I don't want a ceasefire.
You see, this is the fucking crux of the issue right here. For since this started, every single week we came on Unpopular Opinions and said, Rat King, Zelensky here on the left, okay, against all reason, basically led his country to the slaughter. This is why I've always been against this war, because he is a puppet. Zelensky is a puppet set up by NATO, set up by Biden, set up by the villainous regime leaders of the West to what? Because they were never, ever, ever, ever going to win that war. So it was only ever going to lead to what Trump is describing here. So, I mean, he's absolutely in the wrong to not want a ceasefire at this moment.
I want to go, and I wanted this. Look, if you could get a ceasefire right now, I tell you, you take it so the bullets stop flying and your men stop getting killed.
Of course, we want to stop the war.
But you're saying you don't want a ceasefire?
But I said to you,
I want a ceasefire.
With guarantees.
Because you'll get a ceasefire faster than an agreement.
Ask our people about ceasefire, what they think.
That wasn't with me.
For you what,
that wasn't
what
with me. That was with a guy named Biden who was not a smart person. That was
your,
that was with Obama.
President. It was your president.
Excuse me. That was with Obama who gave you sheets and I gave you javelins.
Yes.
I gave you the javelins to take out all those tanks. Obama gave you sheets. In fact, the statement is Obama gave sheets and Trump gave javelins. You got to be more thankful because let me tell you, you don't have the cards. With us, you have the cards. But without us, you don't have any cards.
One more question to Mr. Vice President. I'm sorry.
It's going to be a tough deal to make because the attitudes have to change.
What if Russia breaks this?
Think of how surreal it must be to be Zelensky, Trump literally shouting, you're gambling with World War III. You haven't got any cards to play. Like literally shouting in his face. It's fucking incredible.
What if Russia breaks this talks? What do you do then?
What are you saying?
She's asking, what if Russia breaks the ceasefire?
What if anything? What if a bomb drops on your head right now? Okay? What if they broke it? I don't know. They broke it with Biden because Biden, they didn't respect him. They didn't respect Obama. They respect me. Let me tell you, Putin went through a hell of a lot with me. He went through a phony witch hunt where they used him and Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. You ever hear of that deal? That was a phony Hunter Biden, Joe Biden scam. Hillary Clinton, Shifty Adam Schiff. It was a Democrat scam. And he had to go through that. And he did go through it. We didn't end up in a war. And he went through it. He was accused of all that stuff. He had nothing to do with it. It came out of Hunter Biden's bathroom. It came out of Hunter Biden's bedroom. It was disgusting. And then they said, the laptop from hell was made by Russia. the 51 agents. The whole thing was a scam, and he had to put up with that. He was being accused of all that stuff. All I can say is this. He might have broken deals with Obama and Bush, and he might have broken them with Biden. He did, maybe. Maybe he didn't. I don't know what happened. But he didn't break them with me. He wants to make a deal. I don't know if you can make a deal. The problem is, I've empowered you to be a tough guy. And I don't think you'd be a tough guy without the United States. Your people are very brave. But you're either going to make a deal or we're out. And if we're out, you'll fight it out. I don't think it's going to be pretty, but you'll fight it out. But you don't have the cards. But once we sign that deal, you're in a much better position. But you're not acting at all thankful. And that's not a nice thing. I'll be honest, that's not a nice thing. All right, I think we've seen enough. What do you think?
What's this negotiation?
This is going to be great television, I will say that. All right. We'll see what we can do about putting it together.
That was some full-on gangster shit right there. That was a proper... I mean, I mentioned like a Four Horsemen. It was a proper beatdown by Vance and Trump. And that is the face of a man who has ended his career in 10 minutes. He basically ended his career. I have already seen Lindsey Graham, probably the number one Ukraine shill in America, has already thrown Zelensky under the bus. Already. He's thrown him under the bus. Let me just go and get my Cuban cigar ashtray. Give me a moment here, and then I'll give you some quick takes before we hit the super chats and things. Right. Where were we? Okay. Now, I mean, there's a number of angles to this. One of the things there's so many things to discuss. Obviously, the whole thing is incredible. But, you know, a lot of people in the chat have been talking about, you know, oh, imagine believing this is real. This is all staged, etc. I actually think that it was an element of it was genuine. Okay. Which is that the anger from Trump and Vance was genuine, and the anger from Zelensky was genuine, okay? But I actually happen to believe, I think it was Larry Johnson who said this, that it was kind of, in wrestling you call it like a worked shoot, right? I think Vance and Trump went into this meeting with the game plan of riling up Zelensky, right? I think they went in knowing, let's push his buttons a little bit. Let's put him in the ringer a little bit and see if he's going to give us attitude. Let's see if he's going to, try to act like the tough guy, etc. So then it gives us an excuse to cut this mineral deal, to pull out of that deal that we were talking about. And it gives us a really ready-made excuse, basically just to end this war, give Putin what he wants, cut a deal with Putin, welsh on any of our deals with the Europeans that we may have just made with Macron or Starmer, etc. And if that was their plan, it worked to perfection. Zelensky, I mean, he basically took the bait, right? This was the equivalent of pushing someone a bit and feeding the troll, like, you know, taking the bait. Zelensky shouldn't have done that, really. And he's basically ruined. I mean, it's over for the wreck. I mean, I already made the meme on Twitter. It's over. The Rat King is done. One way or the other. Here is the the grave of the Rat King. He is done and dusted. There is just no way back for him. Now, but I have already seen on the news according to Fox and according to, you know, various other news sites, the Trump has already said he's cutting any aid right now, and the deal is off. The mineral deal is off. That's not going to happen anymore. And if you listen closely to what Trump was saying in those various exchanges, he was saying, like, look, you can either take this deal, and I'm giving you a pretty generous offer, kind of lifeline here, to come out of this with a bit of dignity, right? Or I'm just going to walk away, and Putin will just have you. Like, you can just fend for yourself against Putin, see how long you last. And I got a funny feeling that that's what's going to happen now. This is hard. I mean, or the threat of that is going to basically make Zelensky play ball now, because he realizes that it truly would be over. Okay. But the elephant in the room, as I've been saying all week, and the thing that nobody in the British press wants to face, and few people in the European press want to face, and a few more people in the American press, but not that many, is that Russia just won the war. Russia have won the war. Okay. I'll say it again. Russia have won the war. Okay. The four oblasts. Neutrality for Ukraine, that is non-NATO aligned. And third, Rat King gone. All those three things are going to happen, okay, because Russia have won. And all Trump needs to do is basically agree to the terms that Russia have got, pull America out of it. And this scene that you saw here is a very neat way to explain to the world, basically, how America gets out of this, okay? Like, in a way that makes sense. Because if you see Biden and Trump as a continuity, right? If you see it as just America acting as opposed to the personalities of Biden and Trump, this is truly schizophrenic behavior for, you know, major world superpower. Zelensky is in that room, and Zelensky is all puffed up like he is, because basically Biden empowered him to be. He is there. The war happened because Biden made it happen. The war in Ukraine happened because America made that war happen by expanding NATO when it shouldn't have, by installing Zelensky when they shouldn't have, by provoking Putin, which they shouldn't have done. So they basically created, they manufactured, they provoked this war into happening in the first place. Then told Rat King, oh, we're going to back you 110%. Stick it out. Don't surrender. Spirit of Churchill, Boris Johnson, oh, the spirit of Churchill. You know, they pumped him up. They said, we're going to back you 110%. Don't worry, we're with you all the way. We're with you all the way. And now they've just brutally pulled the rug. And I mean, even me, someone who genuinely doesn't like Zelensky, the first time I saw this, I thought, I kind of have, like, I can see a point of view where it's just like, bloody hell. You know, they talk about building a guy up only to pull him down again. You know, and if you were, imagine you were a Ukrainian, like, fighter or something who believed all of the bullshit from America in the first place, you'd be pretty, like, you'd be, you know, they've been thrown under the bus. Now, I did say this was happening. I always believed, if you go back to the night of the election, you know, when I cut that little promo in the little hotel room in Swindon there, I said, like, Zelensky's history and Ukraine is done, right? The Trump win represents that. And, I mean, it's come to fruition in the most dramatic and incredible way imaginable, really. Now, there's a couple of other things I want to cover here. I mean, I'd be interested to know where people are, because I don't think, I think this was organic. I think it was a real thing that happened. But I think that Vance and Trump went into the meeting kind of wanting something like this to happen, i.e., I don't think Trump ever really was serious about that minerals deal. Okay, I mean, he said, I mean, and this is why this morning, when it seemed like it was all going to go ahead and it was all smiles with Starmer and so on, I was so disappointed. I was like, oh, you know, the one thing I thought Trump would definitely do, you know, it looked like he wasn't going to do. But now, you know, there's the perfect off ramp, really. I haven't really seen a lot of British media, you know, because I've just been in the car. I've just kind of had a look around. But I'm led to believe that basically everybody is in a state of shock. Macron and Starmer just saw their week go up in smoke. You know, if you're Starmer this morning, you know, oh, job done, mission accomplished, only for the Rat King to blow it up for everybody. Now, it was speculated on Judge Knapp that the person who may have put Zelensky up to this was actually none other than Boris Johnson. Boris Johnson has been on a media blitzkrieg in the past couple of weeks. He has been on, I saw he went on MSNBC, CNN, Fox. Like, he's been on every single channel going. He was on Piers Morgan. He was on This Morning with Richard, you know, Richard Madeley and the other one. You know, he's done a lot. And this was, I mean, this clip from Judge Knapp of Johnson basically shows you, like, how delusional some of the British elites are. But I think they were going for a play here where they believed that the combination of Macron and Starmer going over there would basically, you know, keep America in some way committed to the Ukrainian project. And then I think that Johnson was hoping that Zelensky could go over there and somehow persuade, you know, somehow get something. It has backfired spectacularly, but let's have a little look at this clip from Johnson that Judge Knapp played, because it's remarkable how much shit he talks.
And I think it has every prospect of being signed. And frankly, I think it should be signed because it commits the United States in black and white to a free, sovereign and secure Ukraine. So what we need now is everybody to be serious and to get real. And to listen to what Trump is actually saying and doing and proposing. He said he doesn't mind UK troops on the ground in Ukraine. That's great. Well, then we need to make that real. The US is committed, black and white, to a free, secure, sovereign Ukraine. You can't have a sovereign country without the ability to decide which clubs you're going to belong to. Sovereign country can remain committed to joining NATO. That's sovereignty. Sovereign country can remain free to allow whatever troops it wants to come on its soil.
Listen to what he's saying, by the way. You're a sovereign country if you decide to join a massive multinational organization led by America, and you're a free nation if you decide to let foreign troops occupy your country and install a puppet president like Zelensky. That's basically, I mean, this is not really what he's arguing for. Is for Ukraine to be a puppet nation of the West. And fact of the matter is, Russia were never going to allow that to happen. It was Putin's red line, remember? This is why the war happened.
To support it. That's sovereignty. Now, Putin could never accept that. The US has already committed to that. I think Putin is ultimately going to fail, and Ukraine is going to succeed.
So, I mean, utterly, utterly delusional statements from Bojo. That was like literally a week ago that he said that. It was on the 24th of February that he said that. And it's just turned to the 1st of March. So he said that on Monday, right? So on Monday, Boris Johnson said Ukraine is going to succeed. He was still saying they can win this war. Now, this is a fascinating situation because I think Zelensky is done. And I think he's blown, like he's given Trump every opportunity now to go like kind of maximalist out of this, right? They were even talking about possibly pulling America out of Europe, which is something that Trump wants to do. That timeline may accelerate now. So this is disastrous from the point of view of the European elites that this has happened. And it's actually wonderful, one of the best things ever to happen in our lifetimes, I would suggest, because this could be the beginning of the end of NATO. It could be the beginning of the end of what we call the GAE, right? The global American empire. The bizarre situation that we have at the moment is that all of the European elites want America to stay in Europe. Okay, this is kind of asked backwards. You'd think that the leaders of all of these countries would want America to leave to get their nations back. But all of the leaders there are basically the kind of lackeys of what we have called the regime, right? The regime that Joe Biden was part of, and the, you know, they're all part of the same club. So they want America to keep America committed so they can keep their world order going. I think NATO is done now for two reasons, really. Number one is obviously Trump's kind of nationalist agenda and wanting to withdraw. But the second reason is should not be overlooked here, okay? NATO said that Russia wasn't allowed to do this. NATO said that Putin and Russia are basically, they try to cancel Russia as a country. They try to cut it off financially. They try to put it under sanctions. They try to set up Putin as Hitler, okay? When they do that to somebody, it means that there's no way back for them, okay? It's the path of Saddam Hussein. It's the path of Gaddafi, right? They were trying to Saddam Hussein or Gaddafi or Milosevic, Putin. That was the script. And the script was defeated. It did not go down the way they wanted. NATO was defeated by Russia. That is what has happened here. It has shown that NATO are not invincible. It has shown, basically, that we no longer have a global hegemon that gets to dictate what happens in everybody's backyard. Okay, this is a hugely significant moment. It's the end of the end of history. It is the return of history. It is the return of great powers, and it is the return of a much more brutal realpolitik, which this meeting that between Zelensky and Trump here is quite representative of, you know, big man politics, great nation politics, tremendous development. Honestly, if Trump did nothing else in the next 4 years, giving us that would make it all worth it, to be honest. So, yeah, pretty amazing. Pretty amazing developments here. So there we are. Let's have a look at a few different super chats here, and I will then see where those take us. People can keep on sending super chats and things, and I'll just see what like people have been saying and so on. Okay. Cameron Kirby says, I am gutted that Starnbot didn't get this treatment. This also makes me miss unpopular opinions. It would have been a great episode. Orson Steele says, is the post-World War II liberal order officially dead? Yes, I believe it is, Orson, for the reasons I just mentioned. I think it's done. And I think that it's also a big, big blow to the Boomer Truth regime. It was very notable that during the showdown between Trump and Zelensky and Vance, there was the bust of Churchill looming in the background. And kind of interesting that, because Zelensky was meant to be a Churchill. Zelensky was set up as Churchill, and Putin was set up as Hitler. And that has been defeated conclusively, unambiguously. Redacted Brainwave says, and all of the people, like, you've got to understand, right? People like me and some of my buddies in the chat, like Charlie, I can see he was here, and various other people, Marcus and, you know, D and all of the other people who have commented on this. You've got to understand how much we've stuck our necks out against the prevailing narrative, and how much shit we take and how much shit we have taken for basically just stubbornly being a realist on this topic. Okay, with all the narratives and all the bullshit and all of the Tory boys and all of the attacks, it was always going to go this way. Always it was going to go this way. And Trump, in fairness to him, has basically just, in the most spectacular manner, shown the entire world the jig is up, Rat King. This bullshit ends now. And I am glad that on this topic we actually stood. I mean, I don't want to sound like we stood in the right, basically, because my position on the Ukraine thing, I mean, it was realist in one sense, in so much as Russia was always going to make sure this outcome was going to happen, and Russia was always going to defeat Ukraine. That was just, you know, without doubt, that was always going to happen. But also on the moral side, I was just against the senseless bloodshed of the Ukrainians. Okay, if I was the leader of Ukraine, I would be thinking, do I want to sacrifice the lives of hundreds of thousands of men for basically a fool's errand, for a war that you cannot win? And the destruction of vast swathes of my country. You've got to know when to hold them and when to fold them. And Ukraine never had a hand to play here. It should have taken the deal back in February 2022 or April or whatever it was. What was the deal? Demilitarize, get your army down to 80,000, 85,000, stay neutral, okay? And stop mistreating Russians in the four oblasts. Could have taken that deal, saved a lot of bloodshed and a lot of bullshit as well. Now, a lot of people see that situation differently. I do not believe, and I never have done, in kind of nationalism in the abstract, right? That was the other kind of moral point of view, that, oh, even against all odds, you know, you should fight. Zelensky wanted to fight to the last man, to the last Ukrainian. And to me, that is a morally untenable position. Senseless position. Predicated on Boomer Truth, Winston Churchill bullshit. So I'm always against the Winston Churchill belligerent kind of fight to the last man idea, because it is a bad doctrine, right? That it's this kind of stupid World War II moment, and I want that moment to be over forever. The mindset of World War II to be over, where wars are fought between a force of good and a force of evil. Permanent Churchill and permanent Hitler. I want that to be over. And this war this Ukraine war is as good a final nail in that coffin as any, in my opinion. let's carry on. Where are we here? I'll start at the beginning. Tomahawk says, farewell, Rat King. Yeah, indeed. Death says, Trump got it in his head the minute he pulled up by humiliating on camera. Look, he dressed up for the occasion. Yeah, he was taken to task for not wearing a suit. Zelensky was as well. And the footage of him being like booted out, I don't know if that's ever happened before. If a head of state has ever been kicked out of the White House early, unceremoniously, like Zelensky was. I mean, it was a proper hosing down, humiliation for Zelensky. Now, I'm a little bit worried. Well, I shouldn't. I mean, I say I'm a little bit worried. I think to a certain type of European audience, it's going to play kind of sympathetically for Zelensky, right? So, and I played Mrs. AA, the clip, who's a normie, who's not really up on politics. And like to her, it looked like a two-on-one gang up, a beatdown, right? And so like her female brain was like, oh, you know, bless him, Zelensky and all of that. Look, there's always going to be that. But really, that doesn't matter. That doesn't really matter because I just don't think the Europeans can keep this going without the Americans. They just don't have the power. They don't have the capability for it. Ethan W. Monster says, lol, Trump of all people uniting Europe. Heinrich Bundowski says, Zelensky muttering bitch was hilarious. P.S. says, Zelensky was already hated by the U.S. right. Now Elon could turn off Starlink and spike GPS signal and live stream Russians overrunning Ukrainian positions and have folks cheering. I have never seen a leader F up so badly. Yeah, that's absolutely true, P.S. I mean, the way I've seen this presented on Twitter is that it is like, from the point of view of the Republicans, it is over for the Ukrainians. They have you've got a contrast where that moment where he went to Congress and got a standing ovation and, you know, got flowers from Nancy Pelosi and, you know, Vogue magazine shots and all this utter wankery that they were doing a couple of years ago, and see how far he has fallen. Now this is it. Like, he's been kicked into the ditch in the most brutal manner possible. But, you know, I kind of really dug the gangster brutality of it myself, because it signals something else. You know, on that video I talked about on Thursday, where I had the former head of MI6, that interview that he gave. Number of times during that interview, he said, oh, we're going to a moment of strong men. And he said it like two or three times. And there were two women in the studio. One of the women was particularly emotional as well. And I was thinking, like, this brutal beatdown of Vance and Trump on Zelensky was very masculine, wasn't it? It was a very man's way of doing business, which you just cannot imagine Ursula von der Leyen, right? Or, you know, any of the women, any of the kind of European female leaders, or, you know, cackling Kamala and so on. So I'm kind of very pleased about the masculine turn that this is taking too. You know, it's Putin, it's Trump, it's Xi in China. Kind of like the return of great man politics. I've got, I've got Carlyle in the background on these streams. You know, every once in a while you'll see like Carlyle in the background, and I just, you know, because it's vindicating a lot of the things that we've talked about. Ben S. says, I know most of the EA sphere is anti-Zelensky, but suggest it would have been good to if post-war British elites had treated the US liars with similar aggression. US help is long-term poison. Well, the thing is that we can't keep on relitigating World War II. You know my position on Churchill. You know my position on what happened there. And you know my position on the humiliation that Britain received after World War II. Okay. But I put that down to the leadership of that time. They didn't need to go down that route. They didn't need to liquidate the empire where they had a fifth of the world's resources, if not more, maybe even a quarter of the world's resources, directly and indirectly, under their command. They didn't need to liquidate all of that to get rid of the mustache man. They didn't need to. And what for? To hand most of it to Stalin, as I've talked about, you know, dozens of times. Count Arthur says, I didn't realize how badly he'd blown it until Lindsey Graham came out and says, I don't think we can ever do business with Zelensky again. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is what you call a jump the shark moment, right? Jump the shark moment for Zelensky. And it's spectacular, really is spectacular. And I'd love to know what they're talking about in Downing Street tonight, because it has become very clear that it is the British, more than any other country, who have been behind this war. Right? Boris, who we saw, instrumental. Starmer, the 100-year deal. What are they going to do now? Because their little clown, their puppet, has really messed up badly. Right? I like to talk about pro wrestling. In pro wrestling, if wrestlers kind of botch a move, the crowd sometimes bust out, you fucked up. Do you remember? That is what Zelensky did here. And I don't know. I think it's irreparable. I don't think there's any way back for him. So where does that leave the British establishment? Hopefully with egg all over their face. Hopefully with a situation that makes all of their positions untenable. I want Starmer to go while Trump is still in office. Because, I mean, not just for the good of this country, but for the good of the world. Because I watched a lot of Davos. Okay, it's clear Starmer is Davos's man, right? He is WEF through and through. He was even asked once, where his allegiances lie. And he just, without even blinking, was like, yeah, Davos. Yeah, I fucking love Europe. Their plan, basically, is to wait to Trump out. They think that if they can get to the other side of 2028 and have enough of their stooges in places that, like Britain in power, that they can kind of bide this out and keep things going just enough that once Trump is gone, they can put the band back together. I don't want that to happen, and I want Starmer gone before then. I feel like if Starmer is allowed to limp on until 2029, the regime has a much better chance of getting back together. Right? And when I say the regime, what I mean is the horrible globalist regime of COVID and Ukraine. Now, there is another set of power brokers who I think have backed Trump in a big way. You know my analysis there. There'll be another issue to deal with another time, because right now the globalists cannot be allowed to regroup, in my opinion. They need to kind of press. While Trump is in, they need to try to make sure that band can't get back together. And my worry basically is that Starmer his job is to try as much as possible to not, you know, keep things going, basically. I mean, clearly the Macron-Starmer double charm offensive thing, you know, was foiled at the last minute by Zelensky. Lord Charles Thomas says, so glad I was drinking tonight. Yeah. Redacted Brainwave says, I'm trying to read the press, but can't see any pointers. Even AP and Reuters, Regime Central, seem confused by this, at least so far. Yeah, I mean, they're going to be scrambling because this has basically happened because, honestly, I think he may have gone into that meeting coked up. I think they genuinely have a... Zelensky's got a screw loose. And I think it's been coming for a while. There have been reports from within Ukraine that Zelensky has gone like a bit power mad. All right. And again, that's on Joe Biden, really. It's on the West. They pumped up this guy. They puffed him up. They propped him up and puffed him up. And I think he started to believe his own bullshit. I really do. Death says Monica Lewinsky was not effed in this hard. Sorry, Monica Lewinsky was not effed this hard in the Oval Office. Ginger reservations. I mean, I tell you what we saw tonight will go down in history. I reckon people will still be talking about it in 100 years or something, because it's just an amazing scene. You don't see stuff like this. This stuff doesn't happen ever. Ginger Reservation says, thanks, AA, for the late night. America's next moves, releasing truth bombs about actual casualties and corruption together with war crimes, lies, etc. Well, I mean, honestly, I think America, I think Trump is quite serious about mending or having some sort of relationship with Russia. And, you know, the regime have always been adamant that there's some, like, connection between Putin and Trump. It's very obvious to me that while Trump is in office, it means friendlier relations with Russia, and it means colder relations with the rest of Europe. Until Europe starts thinking like Trump does. That's really what Trump wants, is for the rest of Europe to be more like him. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that America seems like it's going to carry on in the direction of pulling out of Europe, becoming more, you know, moving in a more Trumpian direction. And all of this stuff is, you know, I've been critical of Trump. On this front, I massively support everything he's doing. Every single thing he's doing, I support here, with the one exception of his position on a certain country in the Middle East. But even on that front, he's got a way of moving a conversation that had been static. Like, he gets stuff done. He actually moves the needle in some way. So, you know, and for that, you have to kind of you have to respect them, I think. I mean, we are all just living in Donald Trump's world, let's be honest. And this is what a great man of history is. And, you know, we talked a lot about when he didn't cross the Rubicon in 2020, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, some of this stuff he's doing now, I think, are putting him on the course of... Act like if he carries on like next 4 years as he's been doing past couple of weeks, he'll be up there, in my opinion, just on foreign policy alone, right? Even if there's a lot of bullshit, right? I mean, that Epstein stuff is bullshit, like slop and bullshit, and, you know, there's a lot of scumbaggery and sleazy stuff that Trump does as well, especially on the domestic front, I think, but none of that will matter if he comes good on the foreign policy piece. Okay. I also, you know, we had this question for so many years. Why do they hate him so much? Why did they hate Trump so much? And I think that this is why. What we're seeing right now is the reason why. Because he single-handedly blown up all of the stuff that Victoria Nuland and Hillary Clinton and all of these horrible people had been planning. He has single-handedly changed America's course on the, all of these things. Killed the neocons dead. Yes, there's still that little country in the Middle East, but that's a different topic. In general, we're not talking about the world's global policeman anymore. This is far away from Robert Kagan situation. And even the way in which, let's pretend that they did do the mineral deal. This was a very, 19th century way of deal. I put out a number of polls on Twitter earlier this week, where I was asking people, have you heard of Nelson? Have you heard of Wellington? Have you heard of Palmerston? Have you heard of Salisbury, right? This was some, Palmerston, Salisbury style, 19th century fucking straight up great power stuff. And I'm kind of I don't know, I dig that. There's no reason why America shouldn't behave like that. Why? Why do I believe this? Because for the past 80 years since World War II, we've been operating in a paradigm where foreign policy was looked at in moral terms. Moral terms. Foreign policy is not moral. Nations are not kind of moral propositions. They work in their own interest, in their self-interest. International Relations 101. And Trump is just dropping all of that crap, basically. And it's about time. It's not a minute too soon. There was an extremely good stream earlier this week with Dr. David Starkey. Now, Starkey, for me, is still a bit too liberal and Thatchery on lots of things. I've met Starkey a number of times now in person. We've had some good chats and things like that. I say chats, mainly it's just been him talking and me kind of nodding. But that stream he did it was an interview with Steve Edgington on GB News, was very, very good, where he talked about a lot of this stuff. In fact, it was so good, I was like, that sounds like me talking. he was literally taking the words out of my mouth. He was actually getting towards attacking what I would call boomer truth, and a lot of the things I've talked about. So that was really refreshing to hear. My hope is that if America goes in this direction, eventually the European nations and this nation, Britain, will wake the fuck up and stop all of this nonsense. What do I mean by nonsense? Stuff like, it's really important to have our, become a soft part. What do they call it? A humanitarian superpower. What does that mean? Oh, we've built a lot of girls' schools in Africa. We're exporting feminism to Afghanistan. I mean, fuck off, all of you. David Cameron and Johnson, and they're all the bloody same. All of them. Starmer was a human rights lawyer. Honestly, it could be the end of what we call human rights. And again, what are human rights? They were basically just made up in 1948. Suddenly, somebody declared somewhere, oh, there are these things called human rights that are sacred now. all a load of bollocks. Not a minute too soon. Ranulf White Wolf says, thanks for the emergency stream. This moment from Trump and Vance is pure gold, and it comes right after Trump humiliating Macron and Starmer. I think this was at least partially planned. Perfect. Well, I mean, I didn't really think that Trump humiliated Macron or Starmer. And, you know, I was saying earlier on before this happened, earlier in the day, that the Starmer meeting basically went in a way that everybody got to maintain their narratives, which kind of pisses me off a little bit. So MAGA could claim that Starmer was humiliated by pulling out some clips. But then if you look at the BBC or the Times or the Telegraph or any of the regime outlets, they were like, oh, you know, it was a victory for Starmer, and everybody was coping. And I don't like that. I don't like it when people are just like narrative setting. With this, it was completely unambiguous. There was no narrative. There's no way of spinning this. This is just what happened. And it was refreshing. It was just amazing moment. Redacted Brainwave says, Trump's deal seemed like peanuts for the US. He can probably get something better from Russia. I believe he wants to separate Russia from China. Yeah, I mean, good luck with that. From the Russian point of view, of course, okay, Putin may get on with Trump, but from Putin's point of view, the West have really pissed him off and really humiliated Russia. Don't forget, for the past 3 years, right, they've had to it's not just sanctions. It is what could genuinely be called Russophobia, right? I'm talking about like really petty things like Russian paintings being removed from galleries, Russian classical composers not being played on classical radio anymore, right? Horrible, horrible little things like that. You know, the insistence on it being a Zelensky with 19 Ys. The insistence on calling it Kiev and all shit like this, right? All of these are things designed to piss off, embarrass, and humiliate the Russians, who are, let's not make any bones about it, one of the great civilizations of history, one of the great nations of history, especially of recent history. And they're not a people, the Russians, to mess about with. They never have been. So there's no, I don't think there's any way back. Not while Putin is alive, at least, and possibly not in you know, anybody who lived through this who's Russian is not going to forget what happened in the past 3 years. So I think that the West generally have blown it with Russia, you know, for a while. You know, so it's going to be tough, I think, for Trump to drive a wedge between the Chinese and the Russians. Or indeed between the Russians and the Iranians as well, which could be another angle, of course. But I think that Putin is going to remember who stuck with him during this war. So he's not going to trust the Americans easily, even under Trump. He's not going to trust them easily again, in my view. Orson Steele, we did that one. Cameron Bell says, this week has once again proven that Vance is our guy. He always pushes back exactly as I'd want him to. Thank you for the value-free analysis. It means so much. Well, I mean, if he went into this, I believe this was planned, this kind of attack, this two-on-one attack. And, yeah, I mean, he played his role well. He played his role well. Let's carry on. I still have some question marks about Vance, which I talked about earlier in the week. But this was a pretty good outing for him. This was a pretty good little moment for him, I would say. Redacted Brainwave says, in my opinion, this was set up by the Eurocrats to pressure Trump. USA are mad. NATO is dying. America wants Russia to separate from China, the real enemy. Now, how could this be set up by the Eurocrats? You mean the meeting with Zelensky was set up by the Eurocrats? Maybe. If they did set it up, it backfired pretty badly. SS Phoenix says, see Tom Luongo's analysis. The regime needed World War III to weaken America and Russia. And Davos and the British establishment get to take Russian resources to recollateralize the default on debt and blame it on capitalism. A lot of that analysis is predicated on the idea, though, that the global economy is going to crash in the coming year. So that remains to be seen, doesn't it? I have people keep on telling me to listen to those guys. There's Tom Luongo, there's that guy Stormy Waters. Like, I have listened to them, right? Trouble is, they keep on saying stuff that doesn't look like it's going to happen. I'll give you an example. That Stormy Waters said, back in January, oh, I think Netanyahu's done. He's got 45 days. Mark my words, in 45 days, Netanyahu will be done. Well, I was like, okay, well, there's a prediction, really testable by reality. Let's wait 45 days. Now, I don't think it's been 45 days yet, but I don't think Netanyahu's going anywhere, I'll be honest. So it's like when you keep on making predictions that don't actually come in, I'm like, well, you know, how solid is this stuff? I've listened to those guys. If I'm honest, they sound like there's a lot of gold, got what I describe as gold bug analysis in there, right? But like guys like that have been predicting global crashes every single year for the past 20 years, like Peter Schiff or any of these guys. Don't forget, I was a libertarian and I was inundated with gold bug stuff, right? They're always saying this sort of thing. So I'm kind of any analysis that goes back to gold reserves, I tend to be a little bit devious of, I'll be honest. But anyway, let's see. That's not to say that the fullness of time won't prove those guys right. Who knows? Certainly, one thing they were right on, I would say, is the closeness of the British regime to this war, to the Ukrainian war. That I think has been revealed. I mean, it was pretty obvious before, but if it wasn't obvious before, it's definitely very obvious now that there's something, right, that the British have got a vested interest in. What that is, I'm less convinced by the explanations as to why that is, right? People like to shout City of London, or they point to that kind of debt liability. To me, it's like not enough. It doesn't really explain it. And I still haven't really... I mean, honestly, probably the most convincing explanation is Boomer Truth. Just their psychotic commitment to this kind of Churchillian mode. Even though that's not rational. It's the closest thing I've seen to a convincing explanation. Marcos says, it might be time to bring Charlie and Furious on for a chat. They've been totally vindicated too. Absolute clarity and top-tier historical literacy. I mean, Charlie and Marcus were always on the money when it came to this. Always on the money. Clive Bigsby says, and you know, I have been steadfast in my opposition to the Tory boys on this, who even now, probably, even today, probably wouldn't accept that Russia have won. Clive Bigsby says, do you seriously think Trump isn't working directly or indirectly for the you-know-whos? He is just as hawkish as the rest of them. No, I think he is working directly for them. I've said before. Yes, he is. But if you remember, if you go back to my analysis of that, I said there were two factions. I mean, where's my old chart? Remember? Faction down the left and the faction down the middle. Now, this faction down the left, if you remember, has split in two, right? The old neocons are now much more firmly with the globalists. The Victoria Newlands, the Robert Kagans, the Donald Rumsfelds and all these guys, the Bush-era guys, they're now much more firmly in the middle column, right? And they have been for a while. I think they genuinely believe in democracy and all this stuff. Whereas there's a kind of new type of neo-neocon, if you want to put it that way, who are really just nationalists for that country in the Middle East. And I think Trump is in with them. That has been basically proven, I think. I think it's been basically been proven at this point. So, and that's the other thing that the Tom Luongos and them never seem fully to acknowledge, really, is that, yeah, Trump is kind of beholden to that crowd, you know. And, I mean, look, these Epstein files, why were they given to a bunch of, like, you know, why were they given to a bunch of, like, grift influencers, social media influencers who happened to like that country in the Middle East? Right? Why didn't they just release the Epstein files? You know the reason. So there is that. But that's not to say that no good can come from this situation as we're seeing here. Timothy Berger says, Vance is putting up a strong showing in televised events recently. Do you think his recent actions are poising him well for 2028? Well, what I would say is that Vance is pushing himself, or he's being pushed to be, I mean, at the moment, he's an intercontinental champion, but they're priming him to be a world champ down the line, if I was to say. And these kind of very visible media set pieces, he's been involved in a number of these, the speech he gave in Europe, his involvement here. You know, he is being set up as a character, I would say, as a kind of, you know, can he step up to be the main eventer? What was really interesting about this is that Vance kind of, you know, he had his piece, but then Trump stepped in. He was like, there was almost a moment in this where Trump was just like, remember who the daddy is here, you know, which I thought was pretty interesting dynamic as well. Mike Mironov says, please search for Graham Backstab. It is delicious. I'll see if I can find that. Hold on. I haven't actually seen it yet. I've just seen people say it. So it'd be cool to watch that. Hold on a minute. Lindsey Graham. Okay, I will download that and we can, let's watch it on Twitter together. Hold on a minute.
President Trump was in a very good mood last night. Somebody asked me, am I embarrassed about Trump? I have never been more proud of the president. I was very proud of J.D. Vance standing up for our country. We want to be helpful. What I saw in the Oval Office was disrespectful, and I don't know if we can ever do business with Zelensky again.
I mean, that is incredible. Considering how in the tank for Ukraine Graham was, that is quite a turn from Graham. Based God Bob says it is, but also the fact that Graham is with them, it does make you scratch your chin, doesn't it? Yeah, Lindsey Graham, can we trust him? Nah. I mean, with J.D. Vance, I think there's a question. With Graham, there's no question. You can never trust Graham. Right? He is a sleazebag. There's no face turn for Lindsey Graham, I'm afraid. He is rotten to the core. Base God Bob says, it really is amazing how well propaganda worked to convince people that a small power actually had a real chance to beat a major power. I mean, it never convinced me. I never gave Ukraine a chance whatsoever. But there are still people now who won't admit that Russia won. And that Russia was always going to win. I mean, there were huge disagreements on how big the Russian casualties were. You know, the dude from MI6 claimed it was 800,000. Other people estimate 150,000 Russian casualties. We just don't know the real number. Maybe we'll never know. NATO Tomato says, today America declares independence from NATO. Oh, the thing is, NATO is America. So, I mean, it's like, you know, the key thing is something that Thomas 777 said many times. Why does NATO exist? Why does NATO still exist? It was set up for the Cold War, right? It was set up against the Warsaw Pact. Matt McKenna says, it was when Zelensky said Ukraine was alone from the start that Trump stepped in, took the reins from Vance and initiated the beatdown. Yeah, he was pretty pissed off about that. Wolf Larson says, Ole Anderson, Barry Windham, or Lex Lugo as the fourth horseman. I mean, Windham is the best worker out of those four. Ole was a great talker. Honestly, though, I kind of like the Lex Lugo version of the horseman. I kind of liked it when it was Lugo. They had like really good matches. Luger and Tully Blanchard as a tag team for a while? Yeah, they were any of those iterations, really. Classic answer would be Wyndham, though. I like them all. Clive Biggs, I've got a massive Four Horsemen DVD set here, made by a buddy of mine called Will. Good old Will from Texas, his name was, or Good Helmer. And I think it's an 88 disc Four Horsemen collection, which has got all of their matches from 1986, from when they started until 1989, I think it is. Clive Bigsby says Churchill wanked all over Dresden's destruction. So he did. I mean, that's another thing I hate about the Tory boys, by the way. They love, they're very ghoulish about Dresden. And they kind of delight in the number of people who were killed. And, you know, they love the Bomber Harris memes and stuff like that. The Tory boys are scum. They really are. Matthew Mazuka says, notice that Kissin, Hanania and others of that ilk are throwing Zelensky under the bus. Are they competing for the American pie? Yeah, well, they know that the jig is up for the Rat King. They know. So they want to keep their influence grift going. Right? They want to keep people listening to them. Whether they will or not, who knows? Probably they will, right? Because everybody's stupid, as we know. But, yeah, pretty big loss for Kissin. Absolute Ultra says, let's hope for the return of realism or else. Yeah, absolutely. Monothelma says, a fitting end to this Borderian war. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think my very first Substack article was called something like Unreality and the Ideological Hug Box, something like that. Yeah. It was a particularly postmodern war, although the deaths were very real, of course. And this is the thing: on the Russian side, it was real, but on the Ukrainian side, there was a lot of wag the dog nonsense, where Zelensky was just kind of like going around in his camos and doing like press shoots, and so like from the Ukrainian side, a lot of their war was just media, kind of very odd. Luke says, you underestimate them. The globalists can try to media blast and destroy any support for this. Trump is Putin's puppet. Trump is abandoning democracy. Yes, they can try to do that. The question is, does it matter, Luke? The globalists can media, right? They try to kill Trump. Not only literally, of course, but through the media for a decade. And they failed to do that. They tried to destroy Russia through the media, and they failed. Because ultimately, this war was always going to be decided on the battlefield. It's real. It's kinetic. And this is the thing that interests me greatly, is all of their narrative, all of their spin, is it just coming to an end with the return of the lions? The return of actual power politics as against the masters in persuasion. That's the real question. Which is to say, every single newspaper in the world can try to condemn Trump here, and it may just not matter at all. Matthew Mazuka says, I remember you used to talk about the three factions, the neocons, the globalists, and the third worldists. Do you still think it's three? Or are the latter two actually one group? Well, I think that all three of those groups, the old neocons, the globalists, and the third worldists, actually just collapse into one. They collapse into one regime as against the forces of populism and nationalism, such as who tend to be Zionist, of course. I think in the current paradigm, it's really Zionists versus globalists. And all of the old factions have collapsed into being just the globalists at this point. Loafer Sheffield says, unpopular opinion 723. Satan, get behind me. Blair, a polls. I invited Sir Jimmy into the chat. D noticed at 58 minutes, I have had beer. Help. Good night. Oh my gosh. I don't remember any of that. I can't even remember that show, I'm afraid. Dyslexic Generator says, one thing I learned in business, it's middle school all the way up. If you wouldn't get away with it in the schoolyard, you won't in real life. Absolutely. Seamus O'Blaine says, national relations as moral is very feminine. Yes, indeed, Seamus. Yes, indeed. I like macht politik, you know, power politics. It's even beyond real politik. There's macht politik, actual just power dictating things. Cringe Walker says, I am very late, but today was a great day. Yes, it was. Mr. Patriarch says, absolute curb stomp. The world is changing. Absolutely, it is, Patriarch, and I'm here for it. I am here for it. I am ready for it. Poop Shoe says Europe is the sick man of Europe. I like that idea. Europe is the sick man at the table in geopolitical terms, much like the Ottomans in World War I. Look into Tom Luongo for the tie of economics and the event. Interesting you mentioned the Ottomans, because old sneaky Erdogan, you know, I've got this idea of Erdogan as being like imagine like Erdogan sneaking around the corner, right? He's just lurking around every single corner, ready to slide in to opportunistically take advantage of any situation. Erdogan now is saying, look, Turkey's part of NATO. We could help out in Ukraine, maybe, if you let us join the EU. He's always ready, looking to exploit, looking to... I mean, if Erdogan was a kind of Magic the Gathering card, he'd have two moves. One, just blatant opportunism, and then you could tap him to backstab. Those are his two moves. Opportunistically offer something and then backstab. if your plan is to rely on Erdogan, like to rely on him as a partner or as an ally, that is a bad plan. That's all I know. That's all I know, because those are his only moves. Backstab and opportunistically take advantage of something. Yeah, it's very, I mean, you've got to admire Erdogan as a kind of pure opportunist in geopolitics. I tell you, he's one of the best players of the game, right? In the emerging game of nations and powers and so on, Erdogan plays blinders left, right, and center. He really does. Who says, for the Turks, obviously, you know, if I was Turkish, I'd probably like Erdogan. If I was Russian, I'd like Putin. If I was American, I'd probably like Trump quite a good bit. But I'm none of those. I'm none of those things, sadly. I'm stuck with fucking Keir Starmer here. So there we are. Who says, to bring it home, what next for the UK now that Ukraine is flushed? Oh, I don't know. The thing I fear about Who's is that these people, Starmer and friends, they've only got one gear. There's no reverse. They don't know how to give in or give up, or they just don't know how to change course. And the Labour government are currently doing a lot of things that just don't make any sense whatsoever, right? Starmer, in the same week as Starmer tried to put the country on a war footing, right? And in the same week that, or a week after, he'd signed a 100-year agreement with Ukraine and literally went over to Washington, cap in hand, trying to plead with the American president to, you know, stay involved. They also took down a portrait of Horatio Nelson, one of this country's great war heroes, and replaced it with a portrait of Yvette Cooper. I wish I was making that up. I mean, any hope I had of Labour being sensible has gone out the window. And the Tories are worse. The Tories are even worse. Never forget that. The Tories are worse. So I don't know. I don't know what's next. I mean, I think we're getting Nigel. One way or the other, we're going to get Nigel. And it's going to be Farage. The best we can hope for is that Rupert Lowe is the only kind of vaguely based guy in Parliament, really, gets more of a say in what happens. And I think that Reform, if they're going to be our populists, need to break away from what is known as the blob, right? On an issue like Ukraine, for example, there's no need for Reform to just be the same as the Tories. But they are. They're too cautious. They play it too safe. And I mean, when I said that, they said, oh, well, the thing is, 80% of the British public is behind Ukraine. So what would Reform have to gain by going against the grain on this? The thing is, if you're just like all the other parties, what is the point of view? That's the issue for Reform. And I know a lot of Reform people watch this channel. Despite my, you know, refusal to back them, etc., I still think a lot of their operatives watch this. You have to have a USP. If the British public think that Reform are just the Tories again, or Tories 2.0, they're not going to go there. They need to be bold and break the mold and say stuff that people have not been prepared to say. Like Suella Braverman, an Indian Tory MP, came out and said, actually, I'll never be as English as a lot, you know, I'll never truly be English, she said, because a component of being English is ethnicity. And my parents basically weren't born here. I am ethnically of Indian stock. Now that should just be common sense. Her saying that was bolder than anything that Reform have said this year. Now, I think Nigel, right, if I'm going to be honest, I think Nigel got scared around Southport because Starmer is a scary man, right? The British regime, tried to pin Southport on Farage. And I think that scared him, and I think it's made him more timid than he needs to be. Reform could do with being a lot bolder, and they need to be a lot bolder than they are, because that's the direction of travel. That's where the rest of Europe is going. That is where America is going. Matt Bell says, thank God I can once again eat chicken Kiev. Chicken Kiev is so tasteless. Modest Contemplation says, as always, I am optimistic and a Trump respecter. Thanks for the stream, EA. I mean, whatever you think of Trump, this was just a tremendous moment in global politics today. Maxwell Bliss says, the changing definition of morality is central, though. This is Tom Holland's thesis in Dominion. Christ will always weigh heavy on our consciousness. Yeah, but look, I mean, when it comes to international relations, okay, I mean, I do think there is a role for morality in international relations, okay? And I'll give you an example. I'll give you a good example, okay? Generally, I think that it's good to have the moral that you don't kind of callously kill innocents, right, in the manner that some countries have done in the past couple of years. I don't like that. I think it's it doesn't speak well of the people when they do that sort of thing, okay? Or to kind of crow about kind of tastelessly killing people as they have done, okay? That leaves a sour taste. And so if there's such a thing as morality, it's just kind of like there are some kind of accepted rules of conduct that I would prefer nations to abide by. And even in the most brutal times in history that we can think of, there was a certain kind of code of conduct that countries had, I think, even in war, okay? Now, no doubt, all sorts of brutality and rape and stuff went on, but there's a kind of acceptable lines you don't cross. So, I mean, if there's such a thing as morality in international relations, it would be that. Beyond that, though, there is no there really isn't much beyond self-interest when it comes to geopolitics. Dr. Raspberry says, the idea was to paint Ukraine at parity with Russia so that we'll be done before Christmas messaging for a wider war could be sold to the public. NATO says, where is the Dark Lord tonight? What is his plan? I have no idea last I saw, the Dark Lord was meeting Labour politicians looking for new talent and holding secret dinner parties, secret meetings behind closed doors. Why the Dark Lord is doing that is anybody's guess. But he's probably doing what he does every night, dreaming of new ways to bring in digital ID, the only thing he cares about. Verlinier says, what do you think it would take for Starmer to be gotten rid of before the end of Trump's term? See, I just don't know. There's no actual mechanism. I mean, either a major scandal. I mean, I'll tell you one thing that could get rid of him, the Epstein files. If he's in that Epstein list and they could prove that definitively, that could bring him down. something like that. Beyond that, though, hard to say. But like I said when I went on Duran, if they want him to go, they'll find a way. Poopshoe says, day before Trump announced the golden visa to USA. Yeah, I saw that. That doesn't seem like a great policy to me. UTIS 4321 says, I can make a case for the logic of NATO-Ukrainian win, that the strategy matched the logic. They were just wrong, but it would cost me $1,000. Enrico says, Nigel by XTC is a banger. That is the song Making Plans for Nigel, which I've played a few times on Twitter. Yeah, it is a banger. XTC have got a lot of bangers, actually, to be fair. All right. I think that will do. I think that will do in terms of... we've been going almost 2 hours now. So thank you for all the... you know, I can see there are 6,000 people watching between YouTube and Twitter. While you're still with me, I'll remind you to buy a course at the Academic Agency. Buy it now. The Trivium, Foundations of Shakespeare. I said I might do a sale. No, it's a bit early for a sale, but I would love it if a few people bought those courses, because I was at this amazing chocolate shop earlier on, and they sell this hazelnut caramel kind of spread there. I really want to buy it, but it's £21. And I can't justify spending 21 quid just like that on a tub of chocolate sauce. But if somebody bought a course, I'd be like, oh, I can do it now because somebody bought a course. So it'd be lovely if somebody bought a course. Then I could go back to that chocolate shop and buy some extremely expensive chocolate sauce. If you're in the Richmond area, by the way, Venchi is a just tremendous ice cream and chocolate place. I have a little ice cream tub, and they have milk hazelnut chocolate, and then they put hazelnuts in there, and then they put the ice cream on top of that. Oh, it's amazing. Just a little slice of heaven. I have been going to the gym quite a lot recently, so I thought, well, have a little treat, why not? All right. Cheers for that, everybody. It was worth it. This was, you know, maybe today was the day where nothing ever happened to Guy. Finally took an L. Something happened. I'm so happy. Something happened. Woo! Woo! All right. Bye, everyone.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.